The purpose of this lecture is to try to understand on a more clear and profound level the concept of service in Islam as concerns the total agenda for life. Islam means submission to the will of God. That is the purpose of life. Now, in order to understand this, you need to filter out a huge amount of red, white, and blue garbage that the US education system put in your head. Let's just repeat that again. The purpose of life is service of God. The purpose of life is not the pursuit of happiness. No, it is not, which is a completely nonsensical term that you can race around and somehow find happiness. Happiness pursued in the minds of every great philosopher in the world, happiness pursued can never be attained. And the only reason the pursuit of happiness was put into America's ridiculous Declaration of Independence was a substitute for the right to property, which would have created major problems in terms of exploiting blacks and Native Americans. So this is certainly not a very happy heritage. So the role of people here is to serve the Almighty no matter what. Now, in all religions, there's always a dialectic of, okay, so how do you explain the fact that so many good people have so many disasters occur to them? A classic example would be 1258, one of the greatest disasters in the history of Islam, where the Mongols, led by a Christian general, destroyed the center of Islamic civilization, Baghdad, and massacred almost all the inhabitants. So, as well as ruining the lives of whoever survived, and so on. And we could go on and on of all sorts of disasters where millions upon millions upon millions of people had their lives ruined and or ended. So, how do you justify that? Well, you need to step back a bit and look at the big picture. The world is of no significance to the Almighty. It's not, except insofar as as people on this planet serve the Almighty. And ultimately, at the end of the day, death goes on for millions of years, okay? So the Quran very specifically points out that what's coming is a million times better than what's here. However, we're not saying that, oh well, life here is just endless misery, and if that's that, but you're going to get pie in the sky at the end. The Quran and most religions point out that God can communicate with people. He can give people a sense of purpose, and he can alleviate suffering. He can create miracles insofar as people step forward. But the main goal here is to serve. You see, that's the main goal here. That is the end product. Not to have unlimited sex, not to have unlimited money, so on and so on and so forth. And there's an agenda for what needs to get done. There's a social agenda in Islam in terms of wealth and poverty. There's an ethical agenda as to how people behave in dealing with each other. Now, we are not going to discuss in this lecture the interpretations of issues of how women are treated in Islam. That's a subject for another lecture. When Islam began in the 7th century and expanded, Islam was in many ways a force of liberation for women. It was certainly a force of liberation in terms of tolerance for other religions in place of the nightmare of Christianity. So that was a step forward. And we would simply point to many Islamic countries today where women's rights are being expanded and respected. There are even changes in Saudi Arabia. So that should not be an issue in terms of people not respecting Islam. But getting back to the main point, that you are here to serve. Now, it's like being a soldier in a war. You remain at your post. There, you may be fighting a war for your entire life that seems to produce no results. Again, you are not the ultimate judge of that. It doesn't mean you should mindlessly, stick to a miserable life or mindlessly stick to something that's failing. Again, you're supposed to have a brain. You're expected to use it, not just fatalistically sit there. However, it's important to understand that you've got to filter out of your head all this red, white, and blue nonsense of sort of hasty cake salvation and hasty cake religion. This is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And history is a process of thousands of years, and you're just a small process part of that. But it's a worthwhile part of that insofar as that the Quran very specifically states that God is merciful and will reward you and will be aware of your sacrifices. But unfortunately, people have in their mind some kind of modern media imposed view of what life is supposed to be like, that it's supposed to be, you're supposed to get some quick fix and instantly your life is changed and everything gets better and so on. And in reality, life is a long-term struggle and great movements of change are created by people who have the discipline to persevere. They're not created by people who joined a movement and expected some result in 6 months and then got disillusioned and quit. It's years, it's often a lifetimes of work of millions of people that finally created enormous levels of change. And this was certainly the case with the Islamic Revolution, the greatest religious revolution in history, that came from one man inspired by the Almighty coming out of the desert, and within 200 years had created an empire stretching from the Atlantic Ocean to the snows of the Himalayas. And it wasn't just an empire, a military empire. It was an empire of belief. It was an empire of ideas. It was an empire of faith. So as you go forward, you have to lead a life where you communicate with God. That is the importance of prayer that helps you make decisions. And the Quran does help people have an inner peace, an emotional ability to accept unacceptable events. And as we look forward in world history, this is going to become more and more necessary because the people running things don't know what the hell they're doing today. And you really don't have to be a great expert to see that what they're building is going to end in disaster. It's not going to work. So you have to have a philosophy, a view to deal with this. It is possible that Islam reaching its destiny could be a huge positive force in the world, and this needs to be developed. But in conclusion, you must understand you are not the star of the show. You are not. You are just a small part under the control of the Almighty. You look up on a night where there's no moon, and the truth is often hard to see originally in the darkness, but your eyes will adjust and you'll see a millions and billions of stars over your head. That's the real world. That's the real world. And you're just a very small part of this. Your value is connected to your service in the Almighty. It's not for you to judge. He is the judge. You are not. You serve, and you may spend your whole lifetime serving. And in your eyes, what you're doing might not seem to be doing a whole lot. However, you just need to emphasize over and over again that it's the willingness to hold your position and to keep doing what you're supposed to do. That's the real world. That's what produces change. And people who have the willingness to make that commitment do create change. That's the end of this lecture.